This is Hummus and Tech, and we're recording from Google for Startup Campus, Google's home for startups. We are now in their creator studio, a state-of-the-art video and podcast room available to startups for free. For more information on all things campus, check out their website, www.campus.co/Tel Aviv.
Welcome to Hummus and Tech, the first podcast by Olim and for Olim interested in the Israeli high-tech industry.
And we're here today with this amazing social media star.
Superstar. Guest,
Amy, the Asian Israeli.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're very happy to have you. First of all, thank you so much for coming and joining us today. So we want to hear your story. Like, where do you come from? Why did you move to Israel?
Sure. It's a long one, but I'll try to make it quick. I'm used to telling it a lot, actually. So basically, I'm originally from California, from Sacramento. So anyone who's from LA, sorry, I don't know you. So I grew up in Sacramento. I grew up in a mixed family. My mom is Chinese American and my dad is Jewish, Ashkenazi American Jew. He grew up in the Valley. My grandparents are from Brooklyn. Pretty typical. And growing up, I really had quite an unorthodox Jewish upbringing, you could say. And by that, I mean, I didn't really know what it meant to be Jewish. I was exposed to very little traditional Judaism. My family really kind of did things their own way, and we were very American. That's really the best way I can kind of describe it.
Mm-hmm. When you need to describe your religion, you said American.
No, so if I, like, yeah, so I don't know. If anyone asked me my religion, I didn't really know. Like, yeah. I guess I would say Jewish, but I wasn't a religious Jew,
right.
But you know, when people say like, oh, what are you? Like, you probably say I'm Argentinian or something like that. And in America, they usually mean like, what's your ethnic background,
right,
or where is your family origins? So I would say I'm half Chinese and I'm half Jewish. And that was very confusing, not only for others, but also for myself, because I didn't really know what that even meant. Of course, as I got older, I kind of learned a bit more. It wasn't until I went to college that I actually got really interested in exploring my Jewish roots, my Jewish heritage. So I started to go to Hillel and I made all my friends there. I met with different rabbis in the city where I went to college. I went to Portland State University and I started to get involved with one of the congregations there and just learning a lot, reading books. And as far as Israel's concerned, I really had no connection with Israel growing up. It was more just, okay, I know that Israel exists and it's a Jewish country.
And I'm half Jewish.
Yeah,
so.
And like, we're Jewish, so we like Israel. Cool. I didn't know about controversy or anything like that. Zionism, nothing. And then in college, we got an Israeli shaliach and he brought Israel programming to my campus. And I started to kind of really learn. That's like the short version of the story, and from there, like, everything I learned made me want to learn more. So I kind of, you know, if you ask my friends, they'd say I became obsessed. And I started the Israel group at my school, and eventually I came here on Birthright, like many people. Did you guys do Birthright?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
Birthright.
Me too. Yeah, I think also it was my first connection with Israel.
Yeah, we also don't come from a like very you know, Jewish, you know, strong backgrounds in terms of religion and stuff, but I know, I think that also the moment you get older and you start exploring the world, you just like find out about this little cute country that somehow you're related to.
Yeah, and it's great. And it's great that there's programs like this. So yeah, I came on a Birthright trip and then I stayed here 2 months after that. And I was just like, wow, okay, I'm going to go home. I'm going to graduate. I'm going to come back to Israel. So then I came on a Masa program. You guys did Masa programs.
Yeah.
I did something similar also.
Yeah. I think like, yeah.
We all have the same story, I think.
Yeah, we kind of do. It's very important. And how was the whole process of actually like, one thing is to commit for 15 days, which is Taglit or 10 days.
Yeah.
One thing is to commit for 6 months, 5 months, which is Masa. And one thing is to actually make Aliyah and live here. So how was that process for you?
It was a little bit, you know, when you think about Aliyah, especially because a lot of the times people put it in our minds as like a forever choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very hard to think about anything forever. Anytime someone now asks me, are you going to stay in Israel forever? I immediately ask them back, do you know what you're going to do forever? And they never know, right? Like, who knows?
Yeah.
So I think once I kind of grappled with that question of like, okay, this is like the step I want to make in my life now.
Yeah.
Then let's go. Let's do it. No, like with all the different organizations that really help Olim, I know you guys know about a lot of like Olim in Tech and things like this. It's nice because there's a lot of assistance. That being said, it can be it's very challenging. You know, I didn't really know Hebrew, and I would say I still don't really know Hebrew. And I have no family here. And I'm a bit different from people around, so I face some other challenges. But in general, if you really vibe with the spirit of Israel, it will embrace you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of really what made me decide to be here and what has kept me here for 4.5 years.
And you moved straight to Tel Aviv, or did you leave somewhere else before?
No, so I actually started in Jerusalem.
Oh, that's quite a, you know, different story.
Yeah, so it is crazy because if you knew me, you would be like, wow, how did you ever live in Jerusalem? But I actually lived for about 3.5 years.
Wow, that's a very long time.
Yeah, because when I first started in Israel, I worked in nonprofit organizations, in Jewish nonprofits, including I worked at Masal for almost 2 years doing marketing. And it was only about a year ago that I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to taste that high tech, you know, that high-tech industry, the startup nation that I'm always talking to others about and hearing about. I think I'm ready for that. And, of course, the beach, of course,
yeah. Right?
Did you feel this kind of startup environment and tech scene also in Jerusalem or only when you moved to Tel Aviv?
I would say it's definitely not as strong, for sure, but it is really growing. There are some huge companies there, you know, like Lightrix is there. There's a few startup hubs popping up.
Yeah, like fintech companies as well.
WeWork has opened there now. Yeah. So the startup scene is really growing there. And I think there's tons of international people there, which I think is really something that fuels the startup nation, so to speak, not to sound cheesy. I think that it's a good place for it.
Okay, and you end up moving to Tel Aviv.
Yes, but I ended up moving to Tel Aviv instead of going into high tech.
There. Yeah. What makes a lot of sense. I mean, clearly this is the main hub of startups in the whole country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I really was ready for that change. You know, Jerusalem and Tel Aviv are very different.
Yeah. What was the first thing you came to your mind when you moved here?
The beach. That was definitely the first thing. I was like, I live in Israel where there's some of the most beautiful beaches. Why don't I live by one? That doesn't make sense.
Did anything from here shocked you?
Yeah, so it's funny. I was just telling someone at work today because I am so used to being around a lot more religious people.
Right.
And in Jerusalem, pretty much all of the restaurants are kosher. So if you want to go out with your friends, you're like, oh, okay, where do we want to go? Do you want meat or milk? And I would ask my friends, you know, like, because they're religious. So it's like, oh, are you fleshig? I don't know. And I can go anywhere. But I'm like, do you want meat or milk? And then when I got here, I would ask my friends, like, oh, where should we go? And I'm saying, like, well, do we want meat or milk? And they're like, who cares?
Everything at the same time.
You can order whatever you want.
Yeah, they're like, we can get cheeseburgers.
Yeah. That's very important as well. You know, I think, like, Tel Aviv just has this freedom that it's very, very different from Jerusalem and the people here and the vibe. Even though, like, Jerusalem also has this great young vibe because of Bezalel and, like, you know, all these great universities happening there. But it's very different.
Definitely. I would say, like, I'm not one of these people who hates Jerusalem or hates Tel Aviv. I think a lot of people feel polarized about it. It's a hot debate. I think that each city really has its own vibe when it comes to kind of young people, even Olim, I would say. To me, Jerusalem feels more down to earth. It's a bit more on the ground level. Like if you go to Jerusalem, when you go out at night, you go to the Shuk and it's just like all of these bars and it's very more kind of chill vibes. In Tel Aviv, it's like, it pumps you up. Like everything is on a high level, which was a little overwhelming at first.
You need to keep up with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I can be a party animal sometimes, but I'm really not so much into the partying. So that was a little overwhelming, but I think I'm finding my place.
Oh, that's very
nice
good.
Hear,
it's
yeah.
nice to hear.
I would love to go over your different positions that you were working here and the Israeli companies you were working. You mentioned also you worked for Masa as a marketing writer, content writer.
Yeah, sure. So my first job, my first full-time job in Israel was creative content marketer at Masa, which is, you know, the organization that has these great programs for people. As much as working in nonprofit is really hard, it's a lot of being overworked and underpaid, it's great because that's where I got to experiment with a lot of different types of content because I was basically a one-woman show.
Mm-hmm.
So I really got to learn about long-form content, short-form content, social media. That's really where I started to grow social media. You know, for them, we came up with a great social media strategy. I was doing a lot of things to support the PR. So I also was learning about that. And I ended up developing a really wide range of skills, which was great. After that, I took it to another nonprofit called Jerusalem U. They're a bit more high tech, even though they...
I think I've seen them.
Yeah.
They generate like really cool movies and videos, right?
Yeah. So the main thing that they do is they produce documentaries about Israel. And they also have digital educational resources. And lately they've been really increasing their YouTube activity.
Yeah, I've seen them over YouTube. They're really good.
That's so
cool. Yeah, so there I ended up learning a lot about YouTube and a lot about just other more high-level marketing strategy. And then when I decided to move to high tech, I worked my first year in Tel Aviv at a PR company called GKPR. Mm-hmm. They're pretty boutique, pretty local, and I was doing social media services for some of their clients. So I really just kind of dug deep into social media, and I was working with tech clients, which was a very different subject matter from when I was in nonprofit. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And now, you know, I want you to tell us, how did you become for yourself this like social media persona, and you know, what's the thing you enjoy the most, and how did the whole idea started?
Sure. So I have always been really interested in social media, like even before I think it was called social media. You know, I don't know if you guys had this in Argentina, but it was really popular with my friends when we were maybe in middle school to have blogs on a site called Zanga.
We used to have something called Fotolog.
Yeah, it was still in the
okay,
US.
Okay, so it's
yeah,
probably yeah, basically like the same thing, and we just had these blogs. And of course it's like, well, what are we writing about? We're 12. But who knows? And I kind of learned little techie things like how to do basic HTML and make snowflakes fall and how to change the picture in the background, all these things. And then it went on to MySpace.
Right.
And I was like very, very interested in MySpace and learning how to do all kinds of things there. And then eventually Facebook and Instagram really kind of, I think I really enjoy Instagram because it's a combination of written content and visual content. Mm-hmm. So I'm really into exploring all the mediums.
That's amazing.
And so, you know, it was just like playing around with Instagram at first for social reasons. And as the influencer culture kind of grew, I really started to see, like, I have a lot to say. I mean, I've always had a lot to say, ask my parents. And as I was, you know, the more I would meet people and talk to them, they'd say, like, wow, you should be sharing this with people. This is so interesting. So I thought, like, well, why not? Like, this is really fun. I enjoy doing the social media. Like, I mostly do it, number one, because it's fun for me. I know a lot of, there's, like, kind of that taboo about social media that maybe it's ruining us or is it amazing? And I think it just depends on really your personality or what you're looking for from it. For me, it's really fun. I've been able to meet amazing people from around the world. I've been able to tell people who know nothing about Israel, you know, what it's like here in reality.
I think also, I mean, we are always talking about how to brand yourself for the tech industry in Israel. I think also having your Instagram, your personality, the same as in LinkedIn. I mean, this telling a story with your own account, with your own profile, I think it helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. It really shows, you know, yeah, that you're like very
professional.
Yeah,
passionate about a topic, about something. And it also helps you, I think, also in during your work. I mean, the ability to create content and to the storytelling and writing. Also, you bring it back to your workplace, right?
For sure. I learned most of what I know about what works in social media from my personal social media, because that's
great.
Like my playground. I can experiment with anything I want with little to no consequences,
right?
Versus like, you know, a client, I'm not going to go experimenting with their budget. So that's definitely where I learned the foundations of a lot of the marketing that I do. And I think also, like you were saying, personal branding in today's world when it comes to the job market is so important. You have a whole episode about it, right?
Yeah. It's true. But you know, hearing it from someone that actually has such a strong social media persona and being able to compare it, it's super important as well.
Especially if you want to work in social media. You know, some people say, oh, I would love to move into social media. And
If you don't have an Instagram.
Yeah, like if you don't have an Instagram, yeah. whether you actually, like, and granted, maybe you do know a lot about Instagram, but if you don't have your own Instagram, the first thing that someone's going to look up is if you have social media accounts.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if they see that you're not active on social media, they're probably not going to even call you in for an interview.
Mm-hmm. True.
And now you are working for a new company you just started, and also you have your own agency, right?
Yeah, so I did also start doing a little freelance work, mostly just some small content, a little social media help for certain people. And I did start a new job. I actually just started a little over a week ago.
Mazal tov.
Thank you so much. Toda rabba. And gracias.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so I just started. It's called Traffic Point. It's an affiliate marketing company, and I'm working with content there as a content manager. It's interesting because it's a very different role from anything I've had before, but my skill sets all, like, I'm using the same skill sets.
Okay.
And I'm just using them in different ways. And it's really interesting because the whole first week I'm learning a lot of how everything works and the training, and I'm seeing like, oh, wow, I'm really capable to do this, even though I know I've never really done exactly this. So I'm really excited to kind of delve into another area.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. The place where you can bring your existing skill set and even learn new things and apply it all together. And that's
super important.
That's super beautiful.
Yeah. And it's all under the umbrella of marketing. But really, there's so many directions you can go, you know.
Absolutely.
If you're saying, I want to get into marketing, there's really a lot of ways you can go.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your favorite thing about Tel Aviv?
Wow. My favorite thing about Tel Aviv is the beach. I can't say it enough. I love the beach here, even though 2 weeks ago I got stung by a jellyfish.
Oh, it's jellyfish.
It's
the season. It's the season.
Yeah, and that was my first time. I know I made it 4.5 years without being stung by a jellyfish, but it happened, and now I'm kind of waiting it out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. This is like
when
bad
will they
month.
Go? When will they go away?
I think like September, like end of August.
No, people, in August, I think.
Yeah, but like,
I don't know.
If you want to be on the safe side, don't go the first days of August. Trust me. I think we all been there.
Yeah.
With the jellyfish.
It's not as bad as I thought, but it's also not great.
Yeah.
If you have been listening to our episodes, and I know you have, do you want to introduce the next section of our episode?
Sure. Why not? The Hebrew word.
Yeah.
So the next section.
Yala.
Sure, why not? So the next section of this episode is the Hebrew word of the day.
Yay! We love this.
I did think about it, and I think it's technically two words. I'm sorry, but Rosh Gadol.
Okay.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so this is something I learned when I was on my internship program, and it's really followed me through everything, and I tell it to just about anyone who asks me about job advice in Israel. And Rosh Gadol basically is a term in Israel that they use. It just basically means someone who's really assertive, really a go-getter, who's going to take initiative and be proactive in their job. And it's applied not only in tech, it's applied everywhere. And not only is it good for you to know it, but being Rosh Gadol, I think, is one of the best things that Israeli companies look for.
That's a great advice.
Yeah, great advice as well.
So everyone who is listening, we would really love you to post a 5-star review on Apple Podcast for our episodes, so for our podcast. So please go there, give us a 5-star review, say something nice, something
you
cool.
You can also sign up to our newsletter. So if you enter to www.humusandtech.com, please sign up and get all the updates and news about the new episodes coming up. And of course, follow us on Instagram at humusandtech. You can also follow our Facebook page, Humus and Tech. And clearly, you can definitely and must follow our guest's Instagram account, which is at The Asian Israeli. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.